Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio, Bob engineering and producing the show. Together, we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Friday, December the 14th, 2018. Hope you had a great week. Oh, my goodness, Bob Dio, it is such a busy, busy week going on. And you did get a piece of the Danish Kringle already. There it is. Oh, the plate is empty. Not just one, but the Mona's Danish Kringle. We'll talk about that a little later, but brought in a full Kringle today, and everybody seems to really like it. And why wouldn't they? They're so good. Anyway, welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Our media partners want to do a shout-out to Dylan Smith, who will be with us at 12:30 today for the roundtable portion of the program. Dylan is the editor-publisher at TucsonSentinel.com. Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, thank you for your support over the years. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you. Love your show.
Thank you very much. Tucson Media Group and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications. That would be, well, two of their most prominent, Inside Tucson Business and Tucson Weekly. Our Friday Focus interview is with the chairman of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, Richard Elias. Supervisor Chairman Elias, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Bill. Just glad to be here, and I'm glad to know where my tamales are coming from for Christmas. So I feel like I'm on the right track anyways.
You're getting all set there. You have a very busy agenda, don't you, on Tuesday?
This is the
last meeting. A lot of work to do, last meeting of the year. The Trump administration proposing major rollback of water rules, withdrawing federal protections of countless waterways and wetlands across the country. The president says he's making good on a campaign pledge to weaken the landmark Obama-era water rules that were long opposed by some developers, farmers, oil, gas, and mining executives. How does that impact our iconic waterway of southern Arizona, the Santa Cruz?
Well, the lifeblood of southern Arizona ultimately is the Santa Cruz River, and all our aquifers are related to that. Devastating potentially. Protections for ephemeral rivers is something that has always been a part of the Clean Water Act and was reaffirmed in the 2015 review of the Clean Water Act under the Obama administration. We also have designation of our river as a traditional navigable waterway, which employs us to require Section 404 permits for road crossings over important waterways, as well as regulations related to making sure our water is clean. And absolutely critical to us here, this will be a humongous change. I placed a resolution on our agenda for the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday to oppose these regulations so our folks can start working on it, because we only have a 60-day comment period.
Of course, Santa Cruz running through your area, Dan Scheer.
Absolutely. And do you think this was the administration is going after this because of the regulatory expenses involved, or why would somebody want to roll back clean water requirements?
Well, ultimately, it's about those costs associated with those regulatory requirements, I believe. Certainly, nobody wants to have bad water. But the truth is that we have had a very long-winded discussion in the 2000s about the Clean Water Act. And there were tens of thousands of comments that were made, and it was a discussion that went on and on. And so we've got to understand that we live in a region where water is such a precious natural resource, and losing the protections of the Clean Water Act for the Santa Cruz would be devastating to all of us, would even change the nature of the Rosemont decision that we're all waiting
on. Yeah, I wondered if this would impact Rosemont
at
all.
The only thing that is outstanding is a Section 404 permit over the Sanega Creek.
Hmm.
And so I don't know that those rules would be in place by then, but clearly the Corps of Engineers could wait as well. That could be at their discretion.
You recently got out the flamethrower in an editorial in the Star against Rosemont Mine, which you co-wrote, and you just listed several areas where you just thought it was going to be really bad for us. One of them, of course, was water, to stay on that theme. Rosemont is permitted for 6,000 acre feet. FICO, which is the Pecan Grove folks, and then Freeport-McMoRan Mining, each use just under 30,000 acre feet. If you're going to be concerned about water, are you aiming for the wrong target?
Not at all. Not at all. Those are users that have been around for a long time and have participated in our community in many different kinds of ways. This is a Rosemont would be a huge addition to that. And FICO ultimately is getting out of the business of farming gradually. And so there's big changes that are heading to us in those directions. I don't think we're heading our comments. And I would thank Chairman Edwin Manuel from the Tohono-O'odham Nation for joining me in those comments.
He was the co-author of that piece.
And I'm very proud to be associated with that. I don't think we're going in the wrong direction at all. Rosemont is a big problem because of the pollutants that come along with it as well.
But wouldn't you have those with Freeport also or ASARCO?
So why add to it? They've been community partners for a long time. They've been around here for a long time. What's done is done. We have to recognize that they're here. But adding a toxic pit filled with acid and all kinds of other known carcinogens is not good for us. That's all going to enter our waterways and enter our drinking water at some point in time. And, of course, the usage of that water is huge. The air quality permit looms large in all of that, too, Dan.
Rosemont had to go through 17 government agencies to get permit and is just waiting on the 404. As you say, your editorial would seem to dismiss the findings and literally 1,000 studies about Rosemont that these hurdles that the mine has had to clear for approval, you seem to be pushing all of that aside, and I'm not quite sure why.
Well, because I think Rosemont shopped those permits, and they went to places where they could get approvals. Certainly, they didn't want to apply to Pima County for an air quality permit. Instead, they shopped it until they found that the state of Arizona would gladly provide that permit to them without a whole lot of hassle behind it, and that's exactly what happened. My suggestion to you is that although this has been an exhaustive research, I don't dismiss that, but certainly I can recognize that their findings are wrong.
How about our Chairman Manuel? He hasn't been consulted through this whole process, has he?
They have been consulted.
With the Antiquities
Act?
I think
that their interests are disregarded as being somewhat irrelevant and not that important, despite the fact that the Antiquities Act has been on the records, the books, for more than 100 years. Clearly, we don't care too much about the burials that are there, nor the sacredness of the seeps and the springs and the water that does come through the earth there down into our aquifer and ultimately has fed the Tohono-O'odham Nation since time immemorial.
But that area has been mined for over 100 years, and I don't know that the tribes rose up in the past and presented some problems with it, and I'm not quite sure why they are now. But as you say, they have been dealt with. You may not like the outcome of it, but that was part of this whole permitting process, correct?
Right, and I guess some people think it's okay to pour tens of thousands of pounds of rocks and debris on top of sacred burial grounds. I think that that's wrong.
But you can't put a shovel in the ground in Sarita or Green Valley without bringing up bones of people who have lived there hundreds and hundreds of years ago. It happens all the time, and we have these studies, and then we get these communities okayed to build. So it happens really all of southern Arizona. Why is that land different?
A desecration is a desecration, Dan. And the reality is that when those archaeological sites are approved, it's usually because they're relatively protected from the development that's going on top of them. We're talking about tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of rock being poured on top of these sacred grounds. That's big difference. That's not a fair analogy at all.
Dan, HUD Bay is planning, what's their latest, what you've talked to the HUD Bay people that want to develop Rosemont, what are they telling you?
Well, they're telling us that they already have 9 years of water banked. They're telling us that all along that they are only going to be affecting 5% of the Santa Ritas. 5% is big to some people and not others. I fully understand that. They have their ducks in a row, and they're just waiting at this point. And they, since they took over a few years ago, they've kind of laid low. unlike Augusta Resource, which was, basically had never mined anything, and that really rose a lot of red flags, and it should have. Then they turned it over to Hudbay, and they have experience, and they're just going to see this permitting process through. We'll see what happens.
All right, we're going to take our break right here, but before we do, Richard Elias will stick around for another segment, as will Dan Scheer. Dan, did you have a piece of the Danish Kringle? And Steve, Chief Baker up at Mona's, is waiting for your review right now.
Incredible. Let's just leave it at that.
That almond paste is so good. Bob Dio, did you have a piece?
You know, I did, but I got to tell you, I'm so used to the Danishes and things that come in here, Bill.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be kind of dry it's something to eat.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I was like, oh my gosh, this is good. I went back for a second piece, but don't tell the front office.
Let me get this straight, Bob. You were comparing it to some of the rather, may I say, perhaps lower end.
from a grocery store.
No. Yeah. Lower end Danishes.
I have no recollection of ever saying anything.
No, of course not.
I'm just saying that is the best I've ever had come in here. And if I didn't, my mother always said, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. But that was amazing.
All right. There you go, Steve and the team up at Mona's Danish Bakery, Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. Go by, get your Kringle, and you also will have a great experience. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. We'll be right back with Richard Elias. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Jesus, can you tell? take the time to throw a drowning man a line. Peace on earth. To tell the ones who hear no sound, whose sons are living in the ground. Peace on earth. Jesus, in the song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat. Peace on earth. Hear it every Christmas time, but hope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth? This peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth.
Ooh, I like that. Little bumper music, a little special edition of our Friday bumper music. The group U2 from an album that came out in 2001. Richard Elias, I love that line. You hear it every Christmas time. Peace on earth.
Absolutely true. It's a beautiful song.
It is.
It's a great piece of music, and happy birthday to you.
Oh, thank you. Birthday coming up on Sunday. Got the big Christmas party, the Bustos Media Party tonight. That's going to be a lot of fun. So, yeah, the birthday weekend, and then you've got a birthday right before Christmas. So you can sympathize with me when I tell the story about, oh, Billy, that's what they call me, my parents. How about just opening one gift? Let's just let, you know, Dad's got some stuff planned, and, you know, and the why not your brother has a gift for you, but could we put it under the tree? Just wait a few days. I mean, your birthday is the 24th.
Right, it's the day before.
Day before, so yours definitely turned out to be a Christmas Eve and Christmas celebration.
I feel very blessed that I was born on that day. And I have a lot of stories like that, too.
Yeah, there you go.
My mom had a great story about her mother-in-law getting mad at her on that morning and saying, look, if you don't want to help with the tamales, go home. We all know you're pregnant. Don't worry about it. You know. And then there I was. But in the end, I say this with a great lot of love in my heart. I'm just glad that my parents didn't name me Jesus, because that would have been the hard one to live up to for Richard. I got to tell you know.
The baby Jesus, right?
Yeah, right.
There you go. All right. Richard Elias with us, chair of the Pima County Supervisor, and Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and South Rita Sun. Dan, you're up to the plate.
I want to talk about the Stone Garden grants. We actually have a little bit of breaking news on this. But before we get to that, I wanted a more clear answer why the county accepted these grants for 12 years and then in September decided to reject them. Why now, when every law enforcement agency in Pima County says these grants are important?
Because the world has changed dramatically. In the time that this issue first came to us, to the time we refused that grant, the family separation policy of the Trump administration came into being and has destroyed countless families, frankly, that have come here looking for asylum. And the trauma that we've inflicted on these children is beyond words. And frankly, that scares people in our community, and we should not have our residents of Pima County scared of the sheriffs when they walk up to their door because they think they've become an extension of the immigration enforcement that we have in the region. Huge issue. It's about keeping our officers safe and making sure that people respect the law enforcement agencies that we have in our region.
So it sounds like that you're taking a slap against the Trump administration policies, but the people of Pima County are suffering for it.
Not at all. Not at all. I don't believe that for a minute. We have done good work, and if you take a look at the metrics behind Stone Garden and what we've seen, frankly, not a lot of activity, not a lot of productive work comes out of it. So instead, it becomes a burden to us. It becomes a cost increase to us. And frankly, it's a threat to many of the families that have lived here in Southern Arizona for many years.
About a half an hour ago, the agenda for Tuesday's meeting was updated with a request to disband the Community Law Enforcement Partnership Committee. And these are the people who they look at the grants and then make a recommendation to the board. You were not behind that, obviously, because you support the committee. But why do you think that was done? And do you think it's going to go through? You think it'll be disbanded?
It's another attempt by Supervisor Christie to affect the issue that he put on the agenda a few weeks ago, saying that the Board of Supervisors should not have the authority to approve grants that are received by our sheriff's office and the county attorney's office. Absolutely wrong-minded. We've been doing this for years. It's codified in Arizona revised statutes. So a weak attempt by Supervisor Christie to try and change the rules of the game that we've barely started to engage on.
We've been at several of these committee meetings, and they are somewhat chaotic, and they're not really getting a lot done. And there are quite, frankly, it's packed with a lot of activists on both sides, and it's just spinning its wheels. There are some people who will not vote for anything for the sheriff's department. It doesn't matter what it is, and there are others who are very pro-sheriff. Is this committee accomplishing what you thought it might?
Well, that's only your perception of it. I'm not sure that folks on that committee would absolutely refuse to vote for anything that the sheriff's office requested. But aside from that comment that you made, I would say that we do need to clarify what their role is going to be. And I frankly think we should move in the direction of having a full law enforcement review panel. I think that would be more effective, that would look at grants and also look at other kind of problems that the sheriff's office faces with the community. We certainly have one in most communities here in Arizona. We have one in the city of Tucson. And frankly, it works good.
Can you see yourself going forward approving any Stone Garden grants?
It would be difficult to say that at this particular juncture. I think if some things changed in the way we take a look at immigration law and immigration enforcement, I might be able to do that, but that's a long ways off.
This just came to my attention today, that Pima County will now try to tackle homelessness through what's called a permanent supportive housing program. I'm looking at these statistics. I had no idea how many homeless individuals are in and out of our jail. It's huge.
Absolutely. And
with serious not only homelessness issues, but mental illness issues.
Absolutely. We have a lot of return visitors there at Pima County Jail. Many of them are, in fact, homeless.
Over 500 homeless individuals were booked into the jail more than once just during a recent year.
Yes. And so that's why one of the items in our legislative agenda is to take a look at how we can best deal with folks who have behavioral health needs. And rather than incarcerating them and putting them into the penal system and directly into Pima County Jail upon their arrest, that we look at some treatment options for them and try and find a way to not only bring those costs down, but do something better for those folks and improve our community so that people feel a little safer. We have some evidence, Bill, that there have been some folks who have been in and out of Pima County Jail more than 100 times.
Are you kidding me?
Absolutely.
100 times?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Over what kind of period of time would that be?
A human's life. I mean, think about it. You know, I've been here for 60 years, or it'll be 60 years in a week or so here. I know. Don't laugh. That's
okay.
Not right.
All right.
But,
no,
I'm just kidding.
Congratulations.
but still, that's a long time for people
sure.
who have issues,
could build up
who
that
have
kind
mental
of
health issues or have behavioral health needs, frankly, or who are addicted to drugs. And frankly, I see those as behavioral health needs.
Hey, Dan, it wouldn't be a session without bringing a supervisor on the show not to talk about what?
Roads. Okay. Well, we know the road bond failed at the ballot box, and the county was saying, look, this is basically the last chance. It can't be the last chance we have to do this. Would you be open to revisiting a half-cent sales tax filtered through the RTA? What are you thinking? What's next?
I would be willing to take a look at that. Because it would require a vote of the people in order to enact it. And so that's a significant variance from what we were looking at before. And the other thing I would say is that we still need to deal with the issue of how regressive sales taxes are. And we need to make some accommodation for that.
But isn't that what tanked one of the earlier ones, was that you had brought up that you wanted X amount of dollars, and it ended up being millions and millions over a period of time, to go to something other than roads? And I know it wouldn't have been the money collected, but it would have been taxpayer money. It was kind of part of the deal.
I think it still needs to happen. I think it's a big mistake not to, because frankly, as we continue to put more and more pressure on low-income populations through regressive taxation methods, the safety net continues to crumble. Dan, right now here in the state of Arizona, people who are on TANF, temporary assistance to family, 1 year lifetime. That is not enough to save a child's life, and that's what we're dealing with. We can be as protective as we want about the roads and how important it is, but we also have to look at the ramifications of what happens when we continue on with regressive taxation.
If you had no restrictions, what would be your perfect road plan?
My perfect road plan?
Getting these roads fixed.
It probably would have been to see those bonds pass, because I think that would have been the fair way to share money with the jurisdictions. And I think in the end, it's a more fair way of taxing people.
And I think we need to clarify here, Dan, that Supervisor Elias does differ with Supervisor, perhaps Christie and Allie Miller, about what Supervisor Elias believes is the number one priority in the community. And I don't want to put words in your mouth. Richard, but I think you're going to say it's not roads.
Roads are extremely important, but that is not our worst problem that we face. The worst problem that we face is all the children that we have that live in poverty and how we're going to make them productive and help them find a pathway to success in our community. That's about our future. That's about our lifeblood. If you want to talk about education, too, that's another one. If you want to talk about immigration and how it affects us and the border and how it affects our business community, those are all huge issues that are much more complicated to solve rather than fixing the roads.
But
if
if you're a big company and you're coming here and you're looking to relocate and bring hundreds of jobs, and we've had a little bit of success in that recently, and you come here and you see the roads, that may to you be indicative of how the place is run, and it doesn't look good. So one thing feeds into the other. Isn't that right?
How things look is one thing. I think they would look a lot closer about how children are educated and whether they're going to have a workforce that's reasonable for them.
Okay. I think we will leave it right there. Supervisor Richard Elias, again, happy birthday to you. And I hope you and your family have a joyous Christmas season. And as I always say, you know, I always add something to this Happy New Year thing. I always put, have a healthy and happy New Year.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. Right. Same to you, and same to you, Dan.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure being on here with you, and happy birthday and Merry Christmas and happy holidays to everyone, and no matter how you celebrate, and Prospero Año Nuevo a todos.
Mm-hmm. And let's don't forget Happy Kwanzaa. I think it's the day after Christmas.
Yeah, this year it's 26th.
Okay, it's the 26th, which is also traditionally in a day that I like to celebrate too. Boxing Day, which goes the British tradition of going back a little extra Christmas there, throw an extra day in the 26th of December. You know, keep the Christmas going. That's my thing.
I agree with that.
Right. We'll be right back. Dylan Smith now is in the house. We'll be right back with him and Dan Scheer. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Not quite holiday edition, but it sure feels like it. Next Friday will be the holiday edition. But anyway, everybody's enjoying the Danish Kringle. Even had Judge Ray Carroll was stopping by. He was meeting Supervisor Elias. They were going out to lunch, and Ray gave a big thumbs up, didn't he, Dylan, to the Kringle? Did you get a piece yet?
I have not yet. Oh. I need to get some before it's gone.
Before it's all gone.
Better hurry.
That Danish
Maybe
Kringle.
Maybe just some crumbs left at this point.
Dylan Smith is here, and Dylan is the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, which is wrapping up its fundraising in about 2 weeks, right?
Well, through the
is
end of the year.
Is it too late to give now?
Absolutely not. Well, no. It's never too late to give, but...
It's a
through the end of the year, yes, we have a special program going that's funded by some national foundations. And, hey, there's some Danish Kringle there just in time.
There you go. You can Bob just
you.
Brought a
Thanks,
piece
Bob.
For you while you're on the air here.
So if I start talking with my mouth full, everyone will know what's going on.
We'll understand.
Through the end of the year, through December 31st, there's a special program called Newsmatch, where every donation from an individual to TucsonSentinel.com will be matched dollar for dollar up to $1,000 per person who donates. So that's a really important effort for us to maintain and grow what we're doing at TucsonSentinel.com. You know, mm-hmm. we're your local independent online news service, as you keep saying.
And Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. And Dan also is involved with the 30 publications in 10 states with your umbrella organization, WIC Communications, based in
Sierra Vista.
Sierra Vista, with their home paper with the Sierra Vista Herald,
that's
correct?
Right, that's yeah. right.
Dan's got some fancy new title this year, don't you?
Do? What is it? Editorial
Director.
Oh, it is. Editorial Director. Yeah. And he gets to travel all over where the WIC papers are, including places in Colorado. I'm just giggling. There are places, some smaller places.
You're nice.
No, that are sometimes Let's put it
that, you know,
challenging places, there are, to reach, perhaps.
There are places that still need news. And,
there you go.
God bless you folks for keeping those communities informed.
And
but
plenty
that's
of news
where
there
seems to be growth in the people say, oh, newspapers are dying, but some of these small papers
absolutely
are doing pretty well, aren't they?
It is the lifeblood of some of these communities, and they're glad that we're there. And you know what? All news is local. We've said that many times here, and they're digging into what's going on in the police departments and the roads and the schools, and that's exactly what they should be doing. So when those voices are silenced, everybody loses, and including the advertisers. Mm-hmm. There's no means to get it out, and certainly the readers. So, yeah, some of these are in far-flung
areas. Give us an example of some of these small towns. Montrose.
Montrose, Colorado, which is where I was recently. Wenatchee, Washington, which we just purchased, which is almost dead center of Washington in an absolutely gorgeous area. I was up there a few weeks ago. We have them actually in the capital of South Dakota, which is Pierre. Pierre is the capital of South Dakota. I believe it's the only state capital not on an interstate, I think someone told me. But they do have an airport. So Ontario, Oregon, which is right on the Idaho border, and then we have another one right over the border in Idaho.
Ontario.
Right, and then Louisiana, and we're just all over the place.
You mentioned the only state capital with this or that. Well, I have a trivia question for you. What is the only state capital in the country without a McDonald's?
Uh-oh.
Bob Dio, if you want to jump in as well here, Bob's looking, what the hell?
But I'm not going there.
What the heck is Bill? What is Bill taking off on a trivia? What would you think it might be? Do you know the smallest capital in the United States?
The small, by population?
Yes.
Frankfurt, I would say.
No, Montpelier.
Okay.
Vermont. And that is also the place without a McDonald's.
Oh.
Well, we are going to be without a United States senator very soon because John Kyle, as expected, right, Dylan?
As completely expected,
gave his resignation to the governor. We knew this was coming. So now, Dan, the lists are starting to pop up. I noticed that Lori Roberts put out her list. She lists six people. And, of course, Martha McSally's on the list. But
yep. Did Kirk Adams make her list?
Yes.
Okay.
He was number two.
Okay.
Kirk Adams, the soon-to-be ex-chief of staff.
As of today, actually. Today is his last day on the Arizona State payroll.
Eileen
Klein.
Klein, it seems to be kind of the... Some are saying she might be the front runner here.
The outgoing state treasurer and former member of the Board of Regents.
Former president of the Board of Regents, that she could possibly get the nod. There's another name that popped up on at the Arizona Republic, Karen Taylor Robeson. Ducey appointed her to the Board of Regents last year to fill the vacated seat of Greg Patterson. Had never heard of that name. A name we have
heard. It's related to the developers, Robeson Communities.
Thank you. Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery has been around a long time. He may have been, when you were up in the valley covering news for Gannett, wasn't
absolutely
he up there?
Absolutely. And so there are a few other names there, but all I'm going to really say on this is that Martha McSally, the Republican leadership want her around in one form or another, so she's not going to be heading off into the sunset. So I don't know whether she'll get the appointment on this or not. I don't think it's a sure thing, but the Kirk Adams resignation, the timing of it was certainly interesting. And so and I can see that he would want that position.
And about McSally, certainly Governor Ducey is getting a lot of pressure from national Republicans to appoint her to this. Not so much from Arizona Republicans. She really seemed to have, she and her campaign and her former campaign consultant seemed to have really taken the wind out from underneath her wings with that memo that they put out, that complete CYA, blame everybody else but the candidate and campaign for her loss.
And isn't that the big
explanation?
And isn't that the big question?
That hurt a lot of people.
Absolutely. But the big question is, okay, can this person win an election? Well, she's been, she had one where she's won clear cut against Hines, but other than that, hers have been you know, squeakers or she loses them. So she's is she one who can keep the seat for them? And you know that's got to be their very first question.
Right. Somebody to run in 2020 because the whoever gets appointed, again, the second appointment, will only be serving through the 2020 election when we will have sort of a senatorial midterm special election in that regular cycle to fill the seat for the remaining 2 years after that of
right.
The term that John McCain was elected to originally, because you can't change that 6 year order. Those are fixed. You need to have a way to fill things going through that.
So we'll see when we get this announcement, and I don't know if it'll come before Christmas or not, but certainly lots of eyes on this.
Hmm. What happens now to former, well, he's still a U.S. senator right now, but soon to be former United States Senator Jeff Flake? What kind of political career does he have ahead of him, or does
he? That is such a good question, because Jeff Flake is, you know, loved by some and hated by a lot, and we're talking the Republican Party. And so what is his future? I don't know. He is a very highly principled person, and he has a very interesting background and climb to the Senate. He, of course, left voluntarily. Some people thought, yeah, because he probably couldn't win in a reelection bid, but I don't know what his future is, but I can see him definitely very strongly tied to Washington in one form or another. I hope he doesn't become a lobbyist.
I just broke a rule here. What do you think it is? But I was chewing, and yes, Dylan was eating. I just broke a kind of a 50-year tradition of me being in the business.
Irresistible.
Never,
isn't it?
Never eat right before a show. We never did that on TV, and you know, I don't want a few food particles right to show right on the, especially with high definition. But Dylan, Bob brought in a piece of Mona's because Dylan had said, "I haven't had any Mona's.
It's almost gone already.
Haven't had any of the Kringle yet." So Bob ducked out, carved up a piece of Kringle, and so Dylan was eating it. And while Dan was speaking, I reached over and tore myself a piece of Kringle.
You didn't reach over. You dove right into this thing, man.
And I had to talk longer so you could chew.
Exactly. So I can.
That is the very last piece there
was.
There
we go. Oh,
that
really?
Was, that's it right there. That's why it looks funny. I didn't bite it or anything.
Oh, my goodness.
That's it. It's gone.
It went fast.
Oh, I was hoping there'd been some for Steve Rivera, and his... on the ball, but it's gone. Boy, that went so fast.
I really think you should run out and get another one.
All right.
About Flake.
Back to Flake.
Well, it comes to mind because, you know, this is a nice flaky Pringle here.
Yeah.
But about Flake, certainly the man has remaining political ambitions. You know, he's been making the sort of... appropriate rounds that one does if one's thinking about running for president, going to Iowa, going to New Hampshire, shaking the hands of the right people, putting out a book, all of that kind of stuff. You know, he's not going to go quietly into the night. Whether he will actually dive in and run for president is another story. But
you know,
he's going to be, he will have a political profile of some sort, and I don't think he will take the John, as you were saying, I don't think he'll take the John Kyle route
right.
of just going and being a very highly paid lobbyist.
When he first announced that he was not going to run for re-election, I brought up that thing. I said, "Oh, he's going to run for president." People literally laughed in my face over that. And I think every once in a while, there's
nobody's
some
giggling
good
about
argument.
That anymore. Though.
No. I think that there's definitely some more juice behind that. But I know that he had other ambitions, and even though he was not well regarded, I can say locally in the Republican Party. But we'll see how he plays on a national level, perhaps.
Is he doing the speaking? You said he's heading for, you know, New Hampshire and places.
Yeah, he's
like
been, you know, making those rounds. You know, not in an incredibly splashy way. It's still a little bit early yet for that kind of thing. But you know, it's he's doing the things that candidates do to lay the groundwork.
He's floating trial balloons, and he knows that it's going to get buzz. And they're, of course, analyzing everything that's out there. So we'll see if he actually is truly in it or just toying. Who knows?
Who runs against whoever the appointee will be on the – who will be the Democratic front runner? Grant Woods is now a Democrat. Former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods.
And longtime John McCain confidant was his first chief of staff when John McCain was in the House way back in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
As been for the past several years very much opposed to Donald Trump and switched his party registration to Democratic and has been endorsing Democrats up and down the line. There are a lot of progressive Democrats who are still very skeptical of him being a candidate. And another person who might jump in would be Ruben Gallegos, who might leave that pretty much the safest seat in the state for a Democrat, maybe even safer than Raul Grijalva's, really, but has been eyeing a Senate run, too. So there, we might have a pretty healthy primary on the Democratic side.
Yeah, so if you're asking who's going to run against the appointee, the real question might be, well, it depends on who the appointee
That's
is.
True.
And,
That's true.
And would that appointee perhaps be primaried on the Republican side as well?
Sure, sure.
We're out of time, I think, right, Bob? Kind of give or take. I do have time to say about La Rua's going out of business, right?
Yeah.
You've got almost that on the TucsonSentinel.com.
Almost a century old. La Rua's restaurant will be closing sometime in the new year because of the Broadway widening project. The building is being purchased. It was subject to some dispute exactly how much they would get from the city for that, and they last week reached a settlement deal. And we'll be winding up operations. Just coincidentally, my wife was over there just earlier this week stocking up on some tamales.
There you go.
And I had some last night myself at the annual customer Christmas party at the shanty, my home away from home. And next Thursday, I don't know if we'll be able to get any LaRue's tamales over there, but TucsonSentinel.com is having our annual Christmas party at the shanty.
And the public is
next
invited.
Thursday night, and it's always an interesting assortment of people from
all walks
of life, a broad spectrum of very interesting conversations. Come on down, raise a glass to our holiday spirit, and join in the fun.
Thank you. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Dan, anything coming up in the paper?
Lots coming up in the paper, and we
can't think of anything right now.
Today, the Country Fair White Elephant gave out $1.5 million in grants to about 100 organizations, and so we'll be covering that. They do it every year. And
the White Elephant.
Yep, they are a thrift store, and 500 volunteers, and every year they give away $1.6 million. It's incredible.
All right, and a big thank you to Steve and the team at Mona's Danish Bakery. We've been kind of a rolling Mona's commercial here the whole show because, well, who wouldn't be with a Danish Kringle, which is now gone?
Steve Rivera.
That's probably the bite I'll grab.
Now it's gone.
Now it's gone. Anyway, Weekend Watch with Matt Russell's next. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers.
be informed, and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your health care by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
We are ready to stir it up with Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist, award-winning publicist, brought to us by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive to a beautiful part of the Southwest. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of the many places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Let's welcome now Mr. Matt Russell. He got out the old Santa suit. It shrunk a little bit after coming back from the cleaners, but he's ready to tell us about what's going on this weekend.
I don't know if it's my fault or the cleaner's fault that the seat got so small, but anyway, that's for another show. Bill, there's something about the holiday season that inspires an uptick in my consumption of Mexican cuisine, and I can tell you those numbers are going to be off the charts tomorrow at 6 p.m. when Nana's Kitchen hosts their famous evening of mariachis and tequila. Now, they're going to be partnering with the Mikampo Distillery this year, so expect some gorgeous agave spirits while enjoying live mariachis, truly authentic Mexican food. Nana's Kitchen is on Courtney Page Way in Marana. I promise there will be a tequila for every personality and palate.
Any breakfast and brunch ideas?
Yeah, we talk a lot about bacon and beef and all those wonderful things on this show, but we surely don't want to leave out our vegan friends. And on Sunday, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., there's an event made just for them. It's breakfast and brunch at the Desert Island Eatery on North Campbell, a big showcase of vegan dishes, including lentil balls with jerk mayo. I'd eat those. There will also be a selection of teas from Love in a Cup. So whether you're vegan or not, you're definitely going to find some deliciousness at the Desert Island Eatery.
How about time for one more, a supper club event?
Yeah, Mr. Gang's Holiday Supper Club. This is calling back to the old days of the dinner dance. It's a cabaret, a great meal, singers, a magic show, plenty of dancing. It's happening a Sunday. Cocktails start at 5, followed by all the fun that you don't really see many dinner dances anymore. Tickets available at HaciendaDelSol.com. I'm sure you and Ann have cut a few jobs over the years, Bill.
We've done a few of them. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on behalf of my friend Bob Dio. Still looking for some crumbs from Mona's and that wonderful Kringle. Oh, my goodness. Have a great weekend.